My mother sat on the arm of our corduroy couch in her bathrobe stained with dollops of Clairol natural blonde hair color. She yawned and sipped from her coffee mug while I raved over my new Who Framed Roger Rabbit VHS tape. My brother and sister, ages 23 and 20, no longer enamored with opening gifts at the butt crack of dawn, still slept in their beds. My dad searched beneath the tree for Mama's gift. He finally handed her a present he'd purchased the night before, concealed not by paper sporting trees or snowflakes or Santa, but rather the sack from the store. My daddy always did things at the last minute, but he managed to get them done. "Merry Christmas," he handed her the plastic bag with a knot tied at the top. My mother sarcastically remarked at the lovely wrapping paper while she put her mug on the coffee table and tucked her bouncy blonde Farrah Fawcett hair behind her ear. The plastic made a loud crinkling sound as she pulled out a lady's electric razor and examined it closely. "It's an epilady," my dad explained. "That's what you wanted, isn't it?" "Yes, Billy Brown, but it's not even in a box." The device's long cord dropped to the floor. "I know, Susan Ann, but it was the only one they had. It's the display model," he answered. "Oh, thanks." She continued to eye the pastel purple razor. "But it's got hair in it." The steam from Mama's hot cup of coffee mixed with the smoke of my dad's Vantage cigarette in the ashtray as she held the used razor. Daddy turned as red as the tinsel on our tree when he realized what a terrible and disgusting Christmas present it had turned out to be. I know all those vivid details because that moment was being recorded. When I dig out the antique VCR and watch the VHS tape of Christmas 1989, I see my pudgy 8-year-old body sitting on the living room floor in a New Kids on the Block t-shirt, soaking in the banter between my parents. I chuckle when my mother rants that every woman who walked through our local service merchandise in 1989 had touched that electric machete to her leg. My mother and father had a tumultuous marriage at times, but they stuck it out for 13 years. I truly believe if my father hadn't passed away suddenly when I was 11 years old, they would have continued to do so. Despite their frequent arguments over my father spending way too many hours at the country club bar, there was love between them. They drove each other crazy, but they were crazy in love. Daddy was the disciplinarian, the one who told me to keep my eye on the ball, the one who spoiled me relentlessly, the one who provided the income to keep me in new Sam and Libby flats and hypercolor t-shirts. He was the one who said he'd be in the trunk with a shotgun on my first date, the one who made me feel safe. And when Daddy died, Mama mourned the love of her life, and yet she made his passing all about me, the fatherless child. Mama tried to discipline me without caving to my pleas and promises. She poorly attempted to throw a curveball while I laughed. She went from being a stay-at-home mother to working crappy jobs for little pay. My mother paced the house alone and prayed for my safety during my rebellious years. My mother questioned the goofy, perverted boys who showed up on the front doorstep. My mother made me feel safe in a world where daddies suddenly die and leave their children all alone. Then my mother, my beautiful, precious, hilarious mother, went to bed on the night of September 19, 2015, with her suitcase packed at the foot of her bed for her upcoming trip to visit my sister and her family at their beach house in Destin, Florida. On her nightstand, there was a glass of water, a fingernail file, and my first book that she was so incredibly proud of and raved about on Facebook nearly every day. Her white noise machine softly played the Summer Night of Crickets and Bullfrogs. And sometime while she...